This morning, we are going to look at the idea of having an undivided mind, a mind that's free of distractions. And we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 12 in the Old Testament. I had my teaching all planned out, and my lovely wife shared a verse with me this morning that fits right in. And in Proverbs 12, verse 25, it says, "Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Now, the interesting thing is that the word heaviness in the Hebrew means to be distracted or to be anxious. Okay? So it's really anxiety in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Lynn, can you read that from the New King James? Mm-hmm.
Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad.
Yeah, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And that anxiety, again, it's distractions. It's having a divided mind. It's having too many things going on in your head so that you feel entirely overwhelmed. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus Christ talked about these things. In Matthew 6, it's part of a teaching that covers like chapters 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus Christ was up on a hill, and there were crowds down below, and there were the disciples at his feet that he was teaching to. And he taught them a lot of things. He taught them about prayer. He taught them about letting your works be seen before men so they could glorify your Father, which is in heaven. But don't do your works before men in order to be seen, for people to think you're wonderful, but to do certain things in secret, like to pray and help people without announcing it, and fasting in secret, and God will reward you openly. And then he talks about having a single eye. And we're going to start in verse 22. This is right after where he talks about having your treasures or your thoughts in the heavenly realm, not on the earth. But in verse 22, he said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Now, what is he talking about here? The light of the body is the eye. It's not talking about the physical eye, because then he would say eyes, because your body has two eyes. And he's just talking about one single eye. He's talking about your spiritual understanding, your understanding of the things of God, okay? If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If your spiritual understanding is based on truth and you're focused on that, it's like a single source of light in your life. Your whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. So if your spiritual understanding is not based on truth, but the things that you think are true about God in the heavenly realm are actually not true, then your whole body is going to be full of darkness. Your whole life will be cloudy and murky. You won't know what's going on or what to do. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So the point is to have your mind focused on one source of truth, and that would be the Word of God. The word single means folded together or strands that are braided together to form one single strand, okay? Like all the different things in your life are focused on one thing, not scattered. If the strands of a rope were just individual strands, they'd be weak. But when they're twisted together and braided together into a single rope, that rope is very strong. Now, verse 24 goes on to say, or Jesus Christ goes on to say, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon is financial stuff. He didn't say you can't have money, but you don't want to be a servant to it, right? Where all your decisions are based on finances. If that's the only reason why you make a decision, then that's your God. That's who you're serving. He said you can't serve God and mammon. the things God will tell you to do will always benefit you, but it doesn't always make financial sense. Okay? Like God says to give a portion of all that you have. To the financial person that say, no, I need that money. I would rather invest that in something that will give me a greater return financially. But spiritually, it makes a whole lot of sense to take a portion of what you have and devote it to God for the things of God. Then God is the one that will bless you back over and above anything else, you see? But anyway, if our lives are focused on serving God, then we only have one master. The money that you have is not your master. You're the master of it, right? And everything else in your life. Verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. The words take no thought, it's a Greek word merameneo, and it means to have a divided mind, okay? It doesn't mean not to think at all. Take no thought. It means don't let your mind be distracted from serving God regarding even basic things like what shall you eat, what shall you drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on, what clothes are you going to wear? Is not the life more than meat, more than food? Is not the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air. I looked out the window this morning, I saw little birdies. As cold as it is, birdies just hopping around, and they can function in all kinds of weather. And there was stuff for them to eat. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap. Means they don't plant and harvest food, nor gather into barns. They don't store stuff up. They just eat what is available to them that day. And it says, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. God feeds the birds. I like to help a little too. We have a few bird feeders outside. But God feeds the birds. He makes sure that there's stuff for them to eat. And it's fun to go out and look for birds, and like there might be a tree, and it seems like there's nothing on that tree, but they're finding little bugs on the tree. Or there might be berries after the flowers and the leaves are gone and the birds are eating those berries off of the tree. God feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? I mean, doesn't God even care more about you than the birds? He does. And which of you, by taking thought, and that's having a distracted mind, can add one cubit unto his stature? You're not going to grow any taller by worrying about things. And why take ye thought or have a distracted mind for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. The flowers that grow wild in the field, they're beautiful. And they don't work and earn money and then make clothing. And they just, God gives them that. God gives them the beauty. It's part of the way God made them to be. Flowers are gorgeous. So they toil not, they don't labor hard, neither do they spin, they don't make thread and weave it into fabric and make clothing out of it. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, the king, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And Solomon was glorious. I mean, said the Queen of Sheba came to visit him because she heard about how great he was and she wanted to check it out for herself. And she said it just took her breath away when she saw the way he conducted himself, the way his kingdom was organized, the clothing that he had, the throne that he had, the palace that he had, the people that he had, and the words that he spoke. It took her breath away. But it says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers, just so beautiful. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, do not have a divided, distracted mind, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. All the nations of the world are going after all these things, and they're all distracted. They're all divided in mind. I have to get enough food. I have to get clothing. I have to get this. I have to get that. I have to get that. And they're scrambling for it. It says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God's not ignorant, and he's paying attention to you, and he provides for you. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? They'll be added unto you. They will be. It's a promise. if you seek God first, if God is the most important thing in your life, and that's the focus of your life, not just like a hobby, not just like something to do on a Sunday morning, but every day, all day long, your focus is upon God, He will add all these things to you. Doesn't mean you won't have to work, but as you're working, you're putting God first. You see? The things that you do with God first in your life. You're seeking His righteousness. What is right in the sight of God? All these things shall be added unto you. But you see that your life has a greater importance than just surviving. Your life has a greater importance than just getting things out of the world. You're part of God's kingdom. You have eternal life. You're going to live forever. And there's a time where God will reward you for the things that you do right now, the things that you do for Him, not for the things that you do for yourself. When you're working for yourself, that is the reward, what you gain for yourself. If you're doing things for God, then God rewards what you do for Him. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, so you don't have to have a divided mind concerning these things. And take therefore no thought for the morrow. You might think, okay, I have all my needs met today, but what about tomorrow? It says, the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough to deal with today. You don't have to heap tomorrow onto it, and next week, and next year, and all that. God will take care of you every day. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And there's two women that were sisters. One was named Mary, and one was named Martha. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he, talking about Jesus Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. So she was cumbered about much serving. She had to cut up all the cucumbers, you know. But she had a whole lot of things to do and wanted to make sure that everything was right, everything was taken care of, and she was going nuts, and her sister wasn't even helping her. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That's the word careful here is the same word take thought, distracted and divided in your mind. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. The word troubled means crowded, like you're in a big crowd and you're overwhelmed with so many things. You ever feel that way? You have so many details that you have to take care of that you feel like you're drowning amidst all these things. Careful, divided in mind, and troubled, crowded about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What did she choose? What was the one thing? It was the word of God that Jesus Christ was speaking. So she left Martha to take care of all the other things. And she was sitting at Jesus Christ's feet and hearing him speak the word of God. Martha could have done that too. Now she might have said, not in my house. If people come into my house, I want to make sure that everything's right, everything's good. Mary didn't care as much about that. She wanted the word of God. And Jesus Christ said that it was Mary that had chosen the good part. And Martha should do the same. You know, if they have that many people coming over, everyone understands it. There's a crowd. You know, not everybody's going to have the proper hospitality. But she could have been hearing the word of God too, and she missed out on that. That was an opportunity that comes how many times? Imagine to have Jesus Christ himself sitting in your house. And then all these people come in. What are you going to do? Are you going to worry about all the people around you? Or are you going to listen to what Jesus Christ has to say? Because the anxious heart of a man causes depression, right? But a good word, that's one good word, makes it glad. And Mary was getting that good word. Martha was getting depressed from all the anxiety that she was going through. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:4, this is written to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Things we read in the Gospels Those are things Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples who are not yet born again, but were learning from him. In Philippians, Jesus Christ is already raised from the dead, and this is written to those that believe in him and are faithful and just need some encouragement and instructions. In verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It means always or all the time. Do you rejoice in the Lord all the time? Well, you should. And if you didn't get that, the next phrase is, "Again, I say, rejoice." He said, "I'm serious about this." It's not just a suggestion. It's what you're supposed to do. We are supposed to always be aware of the things that God has done for us and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and be appreciative of those things. Because when you think about those things, you want to rejoice. You want to celebrate. You kind of want to jump up and down when you realize the salvation that we have been given and the grace that's upon us, the abilities we've been given and the things that we have to look forward to. Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And the word moderation means appropriateness, to behave yourself appropriately, okay? With self-restraint, so you're not just acting like a jerk, you know? So you're behaving yourself appropriately with all men. The Lord is at hand means he's near. Be careful for nothing. And I used to think my children took that verse and just ran with it, you know? When they were little kids, they weren't careful about anything. We always have to tell them, be careful. But this word careful, again, is the word merimeneo, means to be divided in your mind. Some of the translations say be anxious for nothing. What does it say in the New King James there?
Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing.
Be anxious for nothing. So many of the translations have be anxious because the anxiety comes from being divided in your mind, having too many things to think about, being distracted from rejoicing in the Lord all the time. Okay, so be divided in mind for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Supplication is a request to God. If something is troubling you, pray. And in your prayer, don't just tell God how awful it is, because for some people that's their prayer. God, I can't stand this. It's so terrible. Tell God what you want and focus on the thing that you're asking for, okay? So instead of telling God what you don't want, telling God what you're tired of, telling God just so awful and what it's making you feel like, I mean, you can tell God those things, but that shouldn't be it. Your prayer should have a purpose. Think of what are the things God has promised to you. For example, later on in the chapter, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Okay? There's a promise. What's God going to do? He's going to supply all your need. How much of your need is he going to supply? All of it. Okay? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So say I have a need that's not supplied. You go to God and pray. Say, "God, you said you would supply all my need. Here's my need. And I ask that you supply that need." Okay, you make that request. And tell him what you do want, not what you don't want. You don't have to say, "God, I want to make sure this doesn't happen. I want to..." Just tell him what you do want. Keep it simple. Tell him what you do want. Back in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer." Means you're talking to God, not yourself. Talking to yourself about all your needs is one thing, but talking to God is another. Talking to yourself about it doesn't always help, but talking to God about it will. In everything by prayer, talking to God, supplication, focusing on the request, the desired result, with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving if you don't have it yet? Well, if God has promised something and he's able to do it and he's willing to do it and he's faithful to do it, you can thank God in advance based on his promise, all right? You're thankful in your heart knowing that now that I've prayed, God will take care of it. It's not just a presumptuous thank you, meaning you really mean please, but you're saying thank you instead of please. But it's an honest thank you because you know God is going to do what he said he will do. Okay? There's a difference. But if you are really thankful because you know God is going to come through and do what he said, then that thank you is genuine. You mean what you say. You say what you mean. So with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests, the thing that you are asking for, be made known unto God. When you do this, the result is, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will give you peace when you pray based on a promise of God with thanksgiving. You know God's heard you. You know he will take care of you. And finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I have to go back and take a closer look at this. So the word think on these things, it's the word logizomai, and it means to consider. It would also mean to take inventory of, okay? You lay things out in order. You consider them in your mind. Set your mind on those and take stock of what you have. Going back to the beginning of the verse, whatsoever things are true. The word true means it actually is as it appears to be. Not everything's like that, is it? Some things seem to be better than they actually are. Some things seem to be worse than they actually are. But many things seem different than the reality behind it. The things that are true, they are as they actually seem to be. Like the Word of God. What God says actually is. If God said something happened, it really did happen in the way that he said it. If something is, God says something is going to happen, it really is going to happen in the way God says it. What God says is going on right now, that's what's going on. What God says he put in you, that is what is in you. Okay? When God says he loves you, he really means that he loves you. He's not just saying it to make you feel better. He actually does. And he wants us to believe his word as the actual truth and to set our mind upon the things that are true and the things that are honest. The word honest is translated from a word that means with a dignified seriousness. Honorable. Venerable is another word is used. Reverend. You know, something that's serious and dignified and to be respected. Whatsoever things are just, that's the word for righteous. It means it is as it is supposed to be. There's a standard and it meets the standard, okay? Whatsoever things are pure, that's clean, without impurities. Whatsoever things are lovely, that's the word that means friendly. Whatsoever things are of good report, well spoken of, especially if it's well spoken of by God. If God's word says something's good, that's a good thing. And if there be any virtue, that's strength or excellence or manliness. And if there be any praise, things that give glory to God, then think on these things. So what's absent from the list? All the bad things that could possibly happen, right? Does it say think on all the bad things that could possibly happen? No. We might be aware of dangers and traps and things like that, but we don't want to take inventory of those things and set our mind upon them. What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with people? Faults. All those things are absent from this list. We're not supposed to be keeping our mind on the faults, the wrong things, the bad things that I have to make sure don't happen, things like that. Think about what's true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And if there's any virtue and any praise, take inventory. Consider these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So you can use the Apostle Paul as an example. What are the things he did after he started believing in Jesus Christ? There's many things that are written that Paul gives an example of his own life for others to follow. And he said, look around you and see other people that are walking according to the word of God and use them for an example too. So we've seen a number of things not to be distracted about. What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? If you have a house full of people, you do your best, but you focus on the Word of God when the Word of God is being spoken. When your mind gets crowded with so many things, give them to God in prayer. It says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, right? And take your time to think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. And don't be distracted from rejoicing in the Lord all the time. Now, there's just one exception as far as when it says you should be distracted or divided in your mind. And I want to show you the verses that talk about that. 1 Corinthians 7 is one. 1 Corinthians 7 in verse 32. This is a section regarding relations between men and women. Chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 32. And this follows the section where the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers because they had questions about marriage and stuff. And he said, I'm going to give you some advice. If you're married, stay married. If you're single, stay single. You'll be better off. But he said, if you want to get married and it's a necessity for you, then go ahead. But consider this, verse 32. Said, but I would have you without carefulness, without distraction, without a divided mind. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That's assuming that this is a man who is focused on God and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife, okay? So if you're married, you are obligated to be thinking about your wife as well as your own self. You're supposed to be caring for your wife as well as for yourself and the things of God. Verse 34 says, there is a difference also between a wife, a married woman, and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So he was recommending to the believers there, said, if you can function well enough staying single, don't think of that as a bad thing. Think of it as a good thing, okay? Some people might say, how can I have any social standing if I'm a single woman, you know? Or if I'm a single man and I'm not married, what are people going to think? Don't worry about that. If you're single and you're okay with that, stay single, because you can take more attention putting it on your service to God. If you're married, you not only need to think about serving God, but you need to take care of your spouse. You need to take care of your husband or your wife, because you're married and you're supposed to have that care for them. You're supposed to have your mind divided between what you need and what your wife needs. That's a division of mind that's appropriate when you're married. If you're not married, you don't have that division of mind. You can single-mindedly serve God. Now, in the chapter, it doesn't say if you're married, get a divorce. It says stay with your spouse, okay? If your spouse leaves you, let him or let her go, but don't leave them. If they leave you, you're fine, and stay single. Or if you want to get remarried, just make sure it's a believer. It says, in the Lord. I'm not going to spend the whole time on this chapter because there's a lot to it. But just from the point of view of having your mind divided, there's an appropriate time for that when it comes to people. You're not supposed to be having a distracted mind over things, events, needs, and stuff like that. We're supposed to have our mind stayed on God. But when it comes to people, if you're married, you're supposed to be thinking about your spouse as well as yourself. And in chapter 12 of the same epistle, 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12, it talks about the believers, all of us that have received the same Holy Spirit by believing in the same Lord Jesus Christ, that we're one body, okay? We're considered one body with Jesus Christ as the head, and we're members of the body. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? If the whole body were an ear, how would it smell? Terrible. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him, each with their different things that they do, all working together. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. It means we have parts of the body that we don't want to expose to the public. We cover them with clothing, you know. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or splits in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And to have the same care, that's the Greek word merimneo, the one where he said, take no thought, be anxious, be careful for nothing, do not have a divided mind about anything. It says that the members should have the same care one for another. So there's a big exception, right? We're not to be divided in mind over things, but we are to be divided in mind regarding people. The other members in the body of Christ, we're supposed to pay attention to them. We're supposed to look out for needs that other people might have that we could help them with. We're supposed to be aware of what's going on with the other members of the body that we can be praying to God for them, making intercession for them, and helping them wherever we can. So the whole point is not to be distracted or divided in your mind about things, but to be divided in your mind regarding people, especially those people that are members of the body of Christ, your fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to close with prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are our God. Jesus Christ is our Lord. We only have one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one head of this body that we're all members of, and that we can spend our time rejoicing in the things that you have done for us through your Son, to keep our minds on the things that are true and honest and just, pure, all the good things that are from your word, so that we have a spiritual understanding that is single and true, a single source of all truth for ourselves, and that we do not allow our minds to be distracted anymore by the things of life, but we lift those things to you in prayer with thanksgiving, knowing that you do provide for us, you supply all of our need, so that we don't have to worry, but we keep our eyes upon you and know that all the things that we need will be added unto us by you. But that we do have that care for one another. We care for our spouses if we're married, and we care for every other believer, knowing that we're all connected together, part of the same body with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our head. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.